Shortest Bible study you've ever known.
Well, isn't it?
You are greatly loved. Amen.
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 That's it.
That's it.
Go on now. You are all greatly loved. And do you know what? You can tell the ones who believe it. Ah, and like this Jewish fella said to this to the one of the workers of Bridges for Peace. He said, "Look, don't tell me what you believe." He said, "Let me associate with you for a couple of weeks, and I'll tell you what you believe." Yeah,
yeah.
Frightening, eh?
Yeah, it is. Scary.
You can tell those who believe they're greatly loved. And that's the test for tonight. You can tell. You can tell. It's like a child, eh? If a child is frightened of their father or frightened of their mother or can't do this, can't do that, you see, yeah, you do, eh? We've all seen that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Haven't we? And I've seen in my own kids when I've been on a downer. It's horrible. But when the kids know they are loved and they're there, you know, they're trying to get away with things and that, but you can tell the difference because they're rooted in love. So when I'm going to give this word, I want you to keep remembering the overriding thought that you are greatly loved. It's His gracious words, or His word of His grace, that is going to change you. His word will change you. And if you believe it, you will see the fruit of it, okay? Right, we can start off like this. And I think I mentioned this on Sunday, but it's a good starting point. Genesis 1. Ken, could you read the first six verses?
Yep.
The first five. Genesis 1, first five, yeah.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Hallelujah.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Mm. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Hallelujah. This describes us very well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Before we had the light, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God brooded, and that's the... I'll be reading sometimes from the Amplified, because I've checked it up with the Greek and different things, and they are good. It is good. And they bring it out. One word they'll bring out. Anyway, and God brooded, it said moved, upon the face of the water. But that word is brooded. And like I said on Sunday, He was brooding over our lives.
Yeah.
And you could say before we were born, if you like. But the point was this, we didn't even know it. You might have a spiritual experience and you might think about it and you think, wow, you might, like Billy Graham said, you have a cosmic moment. Somehow, you just know there's a God. You don't know Him, particularly. You know He knows you, but you don't know Him, really. And you're just hoping. But He brooded over your life long before He called you. Mm-hmm. And you see, this is what it says in verse 3. Let's go to verse 3. And the earth was formless and void, or a waste, and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering, brooding over the face of the waters, exactly like He was doing in our life. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Nothing happened till God said. And nothing happened in your life and my life, and anybody else's life for that matter, until you heard for God to love the world, and there you put world, where you put me, so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you've never heard that before. You may have heard it in Sunday school, but just heard it, never registered it, you know, very often. But suddenly you are quickened, by the way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever,
amen.
You think, the whosoever, well, that's me, that's you, whosoever. What's the credentials? Believeth in him. What else we got to do? Believe in him. Yeah, I know, but, you know, believe in him. The rest will follow. Believe in him. I believe. I believe the love of God saved. I believe he paid the price. You know, and then other things come along. But unless you start to believe that, he gave himself, which we're going to remember on Sunday. You know, in this great salvation that the price was paid. And then you got light. And did he not say, I am
the light,
the light of the world? Let's go to John 1, Gospel of John, chapter 1. I know these things, you know them, but we should never forget them. I'll read the first few. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. That's not a good word. It means it couldn't. Well, I'll read it from the end. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it. That it couldn't stop it. Once, like Bill used to say, you strike a match in a very dark room, that even that, as dark as it is, cannot stop that light. So important. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Could not stop it. And that's where the Lord said, you know, I used to get the scripture wrong. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the word. And I used to think, you know, I'm in my little tower and the enemy can't, well, that is true, can't come. But it doesn't say that. It said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is about the Word. And if as a group, any group at all, if you went out in the power of the Word and believe it and spoke to people, gave them some light, that darkness in them, you might reject it, but they would have seen.
That's right.
Now, do I believe that? Yes. Do I believe it enough to do something about it? No. Why? Because I'm waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting. See, when you've had a bad experience, when you've gone out and you've spoken and you get rejected or buffeted or whatever, it can cause you to withdraw. Or when you feel you've gone out and you're out of the spirit, that's another thing. But God's going to quicken his people with the Word, I believe. So let's not, how can I put this? Let's wait on him. And if you ever feel to say something, that's the only way a person is going to get converted. Yeah. Secret love. They say, oh, Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. Because secret love will do nothing. But open rebuke, at least, you'll be sorted out. And thank the person that did it, probably. Yeah. Okay. We won't dwell on that. Right. So we see that nothing happened till you heard. 1 Peter 1:23-22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto See, there's a place we've got to go onto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Lord, word of the Lord, endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel it preached unto you. Okay, the psalmist knew this. They knew that the only way they could be quickened was by the word of God. Bob, would you read Psalm 119, verse 50? We sing that song. It's by the word of God, the living word of God, overcoming all by the word of God. You depart from the word of God, you depart from life yourself. And let me tell you, the word of God is a person. We must remember that. It's a person. This is, you say, but the Bible is the word of God. I know. The Lord said, write it in a book. This is the, as I like to say, the distillation of the breath of God. And if you read the Bible, some clever clogs put it, basic instructions before leaving earth. There you are. God had this word written down so nobody could come up with any strange doctrines. Because it's got the word. But, like I said to somebody this morning when we were chatting, I said, don't get upset. But you may not find a Bible in heaven. Why would you need a Bible? You've got the person. It's like having love letters years ago when my cousins were in the forces and that. And they used to send letters to their sweethearts or fiancés and so on. And people used to treasure these letters, didn't they? They'd buy them and they'd read them. But when they came over, they're not going to hug and kiss the letters, are they? They got the reality there. You see what I mean? So I'm going to ask somebody one day, I'm going to say, do you think there'd be a Bible in heaven? If I said to somebody now, who's in their Bible daily, can I have your Bible for 2 weeks, please? Oh, no, I need my Bible. Yeah, but you've got the living word. Yeah. He lives within you.
Yes, amen.
He lives within you. And sometimes, if you've only got the letter of the word, this could bind you. I know it's strong stuff, but this could bind you. Take it away and exercise yourself to hearing from the Lord. But you say, I do when I read the Bible. Not everybody does. They can read the letter. Take the Bible away. It sounds awful, doesn't it? Take the Bible away and exercise yourself to hearing him. Because you know enough of the Bible.
Yeah.
And what happens was, the Lord said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will quicken to you the thing, or rather, he said, he'll bring in remembrance to you the things that I've spoken to you. So a lot of people have read the Bible and they know it. But now you need the Holy Spirit to bring it into remembrance. Yeah. Otherwise, it will just be letter.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
I'm making sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that you wouldn't need, when your sweetheart comes over from being in the forces, the letters will probably stay in the drawer because you've got him or her. Okay? Yeah? Right.
This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me.
Yeah. And could you read Psalm 119, verse 25? We had this on Sunday, but we've just got to get this. We are quickened by the word of God. And it's not just the word of God here, It's Him speaking to you. And all of you here have heard His voice. All we're all at different places, but all of you have heard. All of you, if somebody came in some wrong doctrine, I think all of you would say, I hear the words, but that's not His voice. And the voice is important.
Yes, it is.
And the trouble is, with any preacher or teacher or whatever, when you're ministering from the Word, you've got to be very, very careful all the time, because it's the voice that you're picking up, not just the Word. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You will know His Word. Yeah.
My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word.
See, and we could go through a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament where the Old Testament saints knew they were quickened by the word of God. And the Lord Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yeah.
Mm. You know when you've been quickened by the word of God. Don't you know? Okay. Mark 4. I don't think I need to remind you of this. The seed is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now the seed's important, of course. And if you go to Mark 4, and we'll pick it up, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And all of us have sown in people's lives. And then somebody comes along and waters it.
Yep.
Isn't that wonderful? But God giveth the increase.
Yep.
And these are they that went by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these that likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure for a time, but afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, in verse 17, it says that the one that went on stony ground, as well as the other, they had no root in themselves. Now, I worked for an agricultural company, do you know, and I learned quite a lot about agriculture, what they did and what they didn't do, and so on and so forth, what to use, what they shouldn't use, you know, because I had to deal with these guys. Anyway, Israel, no wonder the Lord used, they were basically an agricultural country. Look at it now, it's blossoming like a rose. We saw a program, didn't we, Lorraine, the other day, how that it was barren. In 1948, it was desolate.
Yep.
In fact, it was in the 1800s. And Mark Twain went through it and wrote a book and said, it's a desolate country.
Yep.
No trees, no nothing. Oh, there's so much you could tell you about what's happened, but they planted millions of trees, agriculture flourishing. They sent, they're one of the biggest producers of fruit they send around the world. Oh, you know, this all shouts to you if you've got eyes and ears to see what's happened. And it's all because God promised what He would do. Anyway, they were an agricultural thing. And one thing they knew was all about roots. And you know, for example, if you see in your own garden something flagging, what does it need? Water or a feed. So you feed it and off it comes. Why? Because the roots. It's all about roots. And, yeah. And in the company I work with, I found out something about trace elements. And different trace elements, they mix it up. If you said, I got a plant that needs a bit of this, well, it needs some magnesium, and it needs this, potash, and it needs that, and it needs that. And they'd mix these trace elements and give it to you. Now, it might not work on another plant, because they need something else.
Yeah.
Okay? And these trace elements, they get in, they mix it in water, and they think, and you see suddenly the plant thrive. Because it got down to the roots. And if there's no roots, we, you know, if the root isn't good, we're in trouble. And that's why where I want to come to now. Ephesians 3, verses 17. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, said this. Oh, it's all wonderful. But we'll pick it up at verse 15. Of whom, and we know who that is, the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches of glory, to be strengthened with might, by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. I'll pause there. And Paul said, once you've rooted and grounded in love, and that's why I mentioned it right at the start. If you and I are rooted and grounded in love, you will be able to tell. You can tell those. There are some, and as an early Christian, sometimes we strive to be loved. Strive that the Lord do more works, or more this, or more that, to be accepted and loved. It's the wrong way round. You are loved. And nothing you can do can make you love, make God love you less or more. But there is a place in the Lord where you can be pleasing unto him. And the only way you can be pleasing unto him is in Christ. So the more you go into Christ, the more pleasing you become. See? When you're a babe, it's different. It's much like me. Nothing wrong with that. And then you grow up. But as you grow up and mature in the Lord, you become pleasing unto him. Like a father would see his children growing up, and then he becomes, and we won't use the word proud of him, we'll use the word well pleased. Now, the Lord was well pleased, the Heavenly Father was well pleased with Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow. Now you and I are not going to be pleasing unto him except we're in Christ. And the more we abide there, the more we understand, the more we grow, we'll be more pleasing unto him. You can't stay a babe forever. We hope. That's for all of us. So, now watch this carefully, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, which he does. And why? Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So it wasn't a whipped up faith, it was because we heard, as we just spoke before, light came into our life and quickened us. And so that you've been rooted and grounded in love. It is essential for healthy growth that you know that you are loved. I once said to a person, when we were younger Christians, and I said, if they walk away, the Lord won't let them go. Well, we had a big argument. But the point is this, that if you know you're truly loved, you can even believe, and I know you've got to be careful, but even believe, Lord, even if I love you, I know because you first loved me, and I know even if I was to walk away or I know your love will never leave me.
That's right.
That can actually, and I could show you from Scripture. Even though I go to the depths, I go far away in heaven, the depths of hell and such stuff. That kind, knowing that kind of love, it's a bit mind-blowing. Anyway, I hadn't said that. Root and ground is up. Now, watch verse 18. Because you are rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. I should be reading this from the... I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I'm sorry. So Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, being deeply rooted and securely grounded in love... We saw what happened to the ones that had seed sown. There was no root in them. And they just shriveled up. Be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints of God, God's people, the width, the length, the height, and the depth of his love, fully experience that amazing, endless love. You will never know that love unless you know about the cross. Do this in remembrance of me. All the feasts that Israel had, there was the sacrifice and so on, you know that. There was the sin sacrifice, the trespass, all those. But the feasts were to remember. It was a remembrance time. And so they used to hold all these feasts because it was... there's a word I'm looking for and I can't think what it is, but it's basically to remember all these things so you didn't forget. Hey, you were slaves in Egypt and you were delivered by a mighty hand and you were called for a purpose. Amen. You are not your own, you are mine, saith the Lord. You're my peculiar treasure. All these things, we're not called just, oh, we're all called for a purpose. We're his peculiar treasure. And even though we corporately come together, he's a very jealous God. He doesn't want your relationship to be just with the church or with the eldership or with one. Your relationship got to be with him. Yes. And then we all come together. And that's when it really takes off.
Yeah.
You know? And it says here, so if you're rooted and grounded in love, you will be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, depth, height, and so on of his love. And watch this, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. Now, I know, like you know, there have been meetings when we meet together and the Lord is present and you feel the anointing. And if you don't let the fear of man get you or you not come as a spectator... It's okay if you want to be a spectator, but it's far better to be a partaker. You'll get far more blessing than you will as a spectator. Yeah. I think I like playing football more than being watched. What about you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were partakers. Well, you more than me. But we were partakers, weren't we? Mm. Would you like to have been a spectator when you were a partaker?
No.
No, even though you had bumps and kicks and you wanted to be there, right? And so do I. When I come in and meet, I want to be there. You know? And there are those meetings when you go in. And when that love is flowing from the Lord, you know, you've got the fullness of God. God reconciling the world in Christ unto himself. It's deep. Those scriptures are deep.
Mm.
It's saying there, and if you know that love, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You can know all mysteries. You can know, have all knowledge,
yep,
all miracles, all this, all that, which is fine, which is fine. But the Bible tells us, and you have not love, you are nothing. Really? Well, surely something. Well, argue with the Word of God. Paul says, you're nothing.
Mm.
What, with all the mysteries? I know all mysteries, have all faith, can move mountains, can do this, can do that. Well, that's very impressive. I'm impressed. But then he says, you are nothing if you haven't got love. So, my focus changes. And I start to think about these things, and my focus is changing. And the Bible tells me here, and if you know the love of Christ, when I, and I'm sure you were as well, of course, but when we saw how much we were loved when we first got converted, and thought, the first time you heard that light shone, that Christ died for you, the love of God touched you, and probably, like a lot of us, ended up in a shriveling heap in tears, you know, because we were overwhelmed with the love of God. Not everybody does that. I mean, others, like Billy Graham, it dawned slowly. But look how far he went. So we're all different. But the thing is that once you know the love of Christ, you've got the fullness. You can't go higher than that. Now, all the miracles and all that is all great and wonderful and all good. But like I said once before, if you're reading the Bible and you're a person that a woman should have long hair, and depends how long you talk about, was it there, was it there, is it here, you know, long hair, and you don't want long hair, you'll have long hair. But the big point is, you'll have a short heart.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen women with short hair that the Lord beams out of them. I've seen women with long hair and they're nothing but religious.
Yeah.
Haven't we all seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Haven't we all been there?
Yeah.
I know, you talk about men. Men are the same.
Yeah.
You know, wives being subjection to your husband and blah, 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 blah. But the harder part comes for the husband. Love your wife even as Christ loved you. Anybody attained that yet? Well, we're all in the same boat. So we've got a little ways to go, eh? But love your wife. And if you can't love her, how can you love anybody else? Do you know what I mean? Anyway, we won't go too far into that. And then finally he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and throughout without end. Right, let's quickly move on. We've spoken about the seed. We know the seed is the word of God. We said about the roots are so very important and how it's vital that those roots have the things necessary for it. Philippians 4. You know, you see sometimes a plant or whatever, and you see it, it's not doing very well. It's telling you it needs something. It's telling you the roots need something. Leaves, when they shrivel, are telling you something. You don't know the condition of the roots, but you can see the outside. Somebody would know joy and say, oh, I'm walking with the Lord. Daily I'm walking with you. I spend so much time. and they're as miserable as sin. It doesn't mean they're not saved. But I'm confused. Because joy is the second on the list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace and so on. So joy is basically a Christian word. The world can't give you this joy that it's speaking about, but the Lord can.
Yes,
and we know it comes through His Word. But the Spirit of the Word, we know people can know the book from end to end, quote scriptures, they know the book better than you do. But it's the letter. God don't want you to know the letter of the Word. He wants you to know, yes, Ken, exactly, the author. Yes, it's good to read, and the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance. But if the Holy Spirit is not bringing into remembrance to you, all you're doing is reading and getting yourself into the letter of the Word, which is not it. When you read that love letter from your one, you're reading it in the Spirit. You think, oh, he says he loves me. So, you know, you're being encouraged and built up and all the rest of it. But if you're reading it like a dry old thing, well, that means nothing, does it? Roots are very important in our relationship, and we need these trace elements to keep us healthy. Oh, we'll still live. But you see somebody flagging. If you see a plant flagging, you say, wow, that needs some water. If you see a plant or whatever not doing too well, you'll see, oh, maybe it needs a feed of something. I once brought in a packet of Miracle-Gro in here.
Yeah.
And I read what's in there. And it's Miracle-Gro. Well, this is Miracle-Gro too, if you read in the Spirit. If you read it in the Spirit. And it's all these things on Miracle-Gro. And it works. Some of our plants were, you know, not doing too good. We put this in, all these trace elements. Within a few days, it was backed up. Well, the Word of God has trace elements.
Yes, it does.
If you want it. And we look at Ephesians 4, and Paul says this in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, you did this for me once before. And if you've got a mind to, it would be nice if you could do it again. You probably don't. Do some of you remember? No, I'm going to read it. And when I come, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you say, and you say nothing else after each pause, when I pause, the Word of God. All right? Can you do that, do you think? Well, have a go. Be a partaker. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true.
The Word of God.
Whatsoever things are honest.
The Word of God.
Whatsoever things are just.
The Word of God.
Whatsoever things are pure.
The Word of God.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
The Word of God.
Whatsoever things of good report.
The Word of God.
If there be any virtue, any praise, think. Meditate. On these things, and those trace elements will go down to the roots, and before you know where you are, you'll be a lovely little joyful plant, because you're being fed by the Word of God. There is nowhere else. Where are you going to find that list? Where? In a book? In the newspapers? You're not going to find it anywhere else. Thy word, O Lord, is pure, said the psalmist. In the Old Testament, they say, well, we'll read just a couple, that they meditated on the Word of God. It's the same thing. You see, the Old Testament saints knew that. Why? Because the author was the Holy Spirit. So what they knew there, they know here. In different terms, of course. Bobby, can you read? You're in Psalm 119, Bob. Lovely psalm there. Verse 15.
I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
Amen. And Bobby, could you read another one? Psalm 1, verse 2.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
So the psalmist was saying, and this is Old Testament, he was meditating, chewing the cud, day and night. Even at night time. Before he was asleep, he was probably, before he went to sleep, he was meditating on the Word of God. Tell you what, when you meditate on the Word of God like that, your sleep can be very sweet. And who knows, he might want to talk to you during the night. Yeah. So, but it's meditating on what? On the Word of God. On these wonderful things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, pure. You won't find it anywhere else. And one final one, and it's in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4, it says, verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Now, sometimes you get a prophecy, you get a gift, you get a whatever, or the Lord's spoken to you, or whatever. Meditate upon those things. And don't always say, well, I'm going to do this with it. Meditate and say, well, Lord, what would you like me to do?
Yeah.
You know, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself. There is two warnings in the Word of God. We can finish with this. There's two warnings. You know, we read about the scripture about being rooted and grounded and that you'd be able to comprehend. Because if you're not rooted and grounded, you will not be able to comprehend. You've got to know the love of God. Like I said on Sunday, we're going to remember. It's great love. It's easy to forget. We leak. And that's why the Lord said to the Old Testament saints, with all these feasts they had, different feasts, it was to commemorate. That's the word I was looking for. Commemorate, to remember. And about what the Lord had done. So they wouldn't forget. They dropped the feasts. It wouldn't take long before the next generation coming up would forget.
That's right.
So we're going to finish with a couple of scriptures which kind of Paul warns us, gives us a warning. And he, not for ourselves, but you'll see what I mean. In Colossians 2, verse 6, and as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive him? We all received him the same way.
Yeah.
We were all birthed out of love. Eh?
Yeah.
And so walk in him the same way. Rooted, is that word rooted again? Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, this is where Paul comes in. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God, and this wonderful verse, and you are complete in him.
Amen.
Okay, which is the head of us all, principality. You're complete in him.
Yep.
And Paul is saying, look, sent to the Colossians, don't you be pulled away by these educated buds or these people telling you this, that, and the other. And I heard a preacher today, which I've only found him over the last few days, Arane and I. He's very good. He's a good teacher. And he said this, that what's going to be happening before the return of the Lord? He said, it's very clear and he showed you, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. Well, go back and examine.
Mm.
And he said this. He said, with us, he said, the world, okay, is trying to conform us into their image.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so true, and I thought about it. I thought, aren't they just, this is okay, that's okay. Stuff now we go, really? Oh yes, it's all okay. And you're the odd bod now if you don't believe it. And the world, and we put the world like that, you know. The world, who's doing it? These people that are behind the scenes making these laws. Mm. But there's a spirit behind this. And they are trying, well, and succeeding, mind you, to conforming them to their image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are people now. And so, but it's coming against the Christians now.
Yeah.
Because the Christians have, there's a no way. Mm-hmm. We are to be conformed into his image.
Yeah.
But the world is trying to conform us, and it's so deceitful. Is that now people say, well, that's okay. That's all right. This is okay. And people who are now accepting it, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. And they're accepting it. And the Christian now, because he makes a stand, you know what's happening. Those that's making a stand. And so Paul was saying here then, beware lest any man spoil you. And that Greek word there, I'll read it, and this is quite a good rendering of it. See to it that no one takes you captive through, and that's exactly what it means, philosophy and empty dissension, pseudo intellectual babble. I like that. According to the traditions and musings of mere men, following the elementary principles of this world. And of course, this was in Paul's day. There was a lot going on. Rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ. For in him, all the fullness of deity. And I love that when it says, and we are complete in him. There can be no add-ons by anybody. When you're in Christ, you may be a babe, but you've got all your fingers, all your toes, all your two ears, your mouth, right? You're complete. You've now got to grow. Okay? And so, but you're complete in him. No add-ons from anybody else. But the world is trying to conform. Okay?
Yeah, you've got a living example at the moment. They call it propaganda.
Hmm?
You just listen to the news and what the Russian people believe.
Now, there you are.
Propaganda. And the thing is, with the other one, like you're saying here, it's because the church has been silent.
Yeah.
There's been no opposition.
The
propaganda.
They're doing that.
That's right.
Did you see it? You're right, yeah. Ken. Did you see it on the news? It's been on quite a few days. Where, you know, these Orthodox churches with all their robes and all that. They're given their blessing for it. Yeah. It's like a holy war. And the Church of England, what's the head one? Archbishop. He was right against it. He said the church in Russia is aligning themselves with Putin.
Yeah. They did right at the start.
They do,
right at the start. They right he had the meetings start. With them, and that's when he actually sees himself as the spiritual head of the Orthodox Russian Church, and he would like to impose that on the world from reports I read, and those pictures of them meeting and all the smiles and agreeing what he was going to do right at the very outset.
Yeah, they've had the stamp of approval from
the last 20 years,
and they've deceived the Russian people.
Yeah.
Eh?
The last 20 years, those in the church which opposed him, he got rid of them.
Oh yeah,
and it's all men now.
Yeah,
exactly what he wants.
There's a lot
that's
going
the world
on there.
Isn't it? But the church has been silent for too long.
Yeah, and there's the underground church now. of course, it always has been. But, and the people in Russia have been deceived. Anyway, what I'm saying is, this guy was saying about, look, don't be take captive by this and that. You are, we'll finish now, you are greatly loved.
Yes, amen.
Nobody bought you.
That's right.
But Christ.
Yeah, amen.
You are his. If you're a teacher, a preacher, or you're in the ministry, or whatever you are, you don't have to be in the ministry. You minister to people all the time out there. The thing is this, you don't let anybody take you captive by the word or the letter. Because you can use that to kill people. But God is using it for life. For life. And so that's why, whatsoever good and thing, think on these things. So we'll finish now, and we'll just say this, that the roots, yeah. But roots are vital, and if you see the outer, you don't have to tell me, and I don't have to tell you, oh, I spend time with the Lord, I'm... What the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, they took note that the disciples had been with Jesus. They didn't have to go and I spend hours, I do this, I do that. They knew that they'd been, well, these men, they'd been affected by that man. You know, that sort of thing. And you will know. And it's good we abide in him. So we'll finish here and just say, look, remember, you are greatly loved.
Yeah.
Greatly loved.
Thank you, Lord.
Feed yourself on the good wheat. Mm-hmm. Feed yourself. If you can't start off from that, if you're not rooted on that, you'll get swayed by men. Men will sway you all over the place. But if you know your love, you will not be moved. Mm. And you are loved. Mm. Don't try to match yourself to anybody else either. Mm. Don't think, oh, I've got to be like him, or I've got to be like her. No, you haven't. You've got to be you and the Lord. The Lord will tell you or mould you how he wants you. Mm. Don't try to emulate anybody else. Mm. He will mould you how he wants you. Mm. And we give him all the praise, all the glory, and all the thanks.